everybody around the world tonight, live on WWRB 3.185. Pastor Buddy joining you with the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you in here with us. We've got a great message, part six of Holy Blood, Holy Grail. And tonight we're going into the genetics of the Messiah. We're going to tell you what bloodline he came from. We're going to prove it by scriptures. You don't want to miss it. Call a friend and a neighbor, and I'll be right back.
Preaching about it, and it It's right after the book of Judges. And it's a little book. It's just four chapters. So I could read the whole book to you in about 10 minutes. But it's probably one of the most significant and most important books in the Bible, the book of Ruth. Now, why would I say that? Well, it's very plain. Verse 1, and it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and certain men of Bethlehem, and there's a hyphen, Judah. Bethlehem, Judah. Now, right away, you know, it's like I told you about, you know, everybody assumes there's three kings because there's three gifts that was presented to the Messiah. They don't really tell you how many kings. It said wise men. And we know there was more than one. Could have been two. It could have been three. It could have been four or five. Or, for that matter, it could have been 20 or 25 in the party. We don't know. It don't say. But we assume. Now, remember what I said about assume. Everybody's got one of them assumes. So here we are, that we are taking it for granted that a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea. Now, let me say that. Let's say a certain man in the town of Bethlehem, Judea, if it existed at the time, and there's no evidence that it did, but let's just assume for the benefit of the doubt here that it did. And why do we automatically assume that he was from the tribe of Judah? A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, the city. Now, let's say it's Bethlehem, Judea. Would it have to be a man from Judah specifically? No, it don't. He could have been a man from, let's say, from the tribe of Issachar, and then he lived in Bethlehem, Judea. This is like you here in Tennessee, and you grew up to Michigan, and that don't make you a Michiganian. You're still a Tennessean, although you are up in Michigan. And I got some great friends up there, and I wish I was up there with them tonight. I hear there's a snow on the ground and getting cold, and I just love that good cold weather, praise Yahweh. And I know that we could probably go ice fishing over there pretty soon at the in one of those many lakes that they got in that beautiful country. Praise Yahweh. Now, look here. It doesn't say that this man was a Judite or from the house of Judah. It just says a certain man of Bethlehem. Now, remember, I told you there's two Bethlehems today to think about, one up in the north and one in the south. The one in the north existed many years before the one in the south, according to the archaeologist and according to the Bible. Now, I want to tell you something right here that you're going to find really, really interesting, and you probably need to write me for this piece of information, if you haven't already got it. Only one place on the earth, only one place, I'm going to repeat this, so far into history, and according to the biblical account of time, we're 5,800 years into history of Adam, 5,800 years. Not one shred of evidence to produce any other name on the earth outside of Yahweh. I'm going to repeat that for you skeptics and unbelievers and soothsayers and false prophets and those of you that abound out there that's calling on false names and presenting false doctrine, something you conjured up out of 22nd chapter of your imagination and added to, and some of you even taken from. There's not one that I know of shred of evidence of a biblical name for the Creator written in the earth majestically. You talk about kingship, you talk about power, you talk about awesome, magnificent, and magnanimous. That's why I get so excited about this great name that we preach and prove. Preach and prove. You can preach anything, but can you prove it? The Bible said, prove all things. Don't add to it. Don't take away. Bring it on. Right down the line. Cut it with the word. Mix it together and feed my sheep. It's what the Yahweh said. Hard saying who can hear, because he knew that tradition and other names would enter in. Just like, you know, some people, you know, we know some people, maybe you do too, that use the name Jesus in the New Testament, but they want to use the name Yahweh in the Old Testament, because they say that the Father's name in the Old Testament was Yahweh. But they use Jesus up in the New Testament and say that's the Son's name. Well, I never heard of the Father that had a son that had a different name. We say, well, I know Bill Williams and I know Jack Williams, and that's two different names. No, in that day, they only had one name. And by one name only is their salvation. It's the most provable name in the universe, and yet people want to argue, drag their toes. Now, how could you have a creator named Yahweh and a son named Jesus, which is a Latin version of Jesus or Jesus in Spanish? It just don't add up. There's something rotten in Denmark. And a wise man will tell you what that name is. A fool will other devices and deception and seem right things. I know some preachers get a wild hair and they go off on a wild tangent and preach a wild doctrine, something they can't prove through origination. See, we're not talking about, as the old saying goes, a Coca-Cola. It's the original. Well, we're not talking about Coca-Cola. We're not talking about Cadillac. We're not talking about a Rolls Royce. And neither one is the same. Coca-Cola, Cadillacs, and Rolls Royce, all three different. But when we get to the name of the Creator of Heaven, there's only one name, and there's only one salvational name in the Bible. And if you can't make up your mind which one it is, you can't serve two masters, you can't have two names, and you can't have a strange name. Because remember, the prophets of Yahweh are set for the defense of the gospel. And they will come after you if you challenge them. They will hunt you down with the word. And they will cut you with the sword. Now, what I'm trying to tell you here tonight is so that I can establish the genealogy in the name that it was written in. The Holy Grail Bloodline, Part 6, for your information. Now, let's go into the scripture here, where it's talking about the name written. None other name written. None other name given. Well, where's that name written at? Not only is it written on the earth, it's written in the heavens. In the constellation of the Pleiades of Orion, there is a star system that spells out the Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh. Up on the earth, at Bethel, which is the old home place of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham established it in the 22nd chapter. There he called on the name of Yahweh. Yahweh. YHWH, the Holy Tetragrammaton, both in Greek and in Hebrew. Pilate knew how to write it in Latin. Man, I'm telling you, you can't get around the scriptures. They didn't write Jesus. They didn't write word. They wrote his original name. They didn't write Jehovah. They didn't write Buddha. They didn't write Allah. They wrote Yahweh. Y-H-W-H. In the Hebrew, in the Greek, and in the Latin. All three languages, his name is transliterated in every language in the earth. That's the master. Only Yahweh would design all these different languages and yet leave the name of the individual universal so that the translators couldn't take his name up. Well, they masterfully added Lord and God, because these are many, many lords and many gods. And some of the people say, well, that Lord should have been Word. Well, there's many words in. But they were one named Yahweh. And for this name, it's forever settled, nothing be added to it, nothing taken away. And what we need to do is just get down to the nitty-gritty and bring the truth. And the truth will stand when the world's on fire, and you're going to bow to one name and one name only, and I'm going to genetically prove to you tonight that that bloodline holy grail name is Yahweh, and that he fathered himself into this world. I'm going to repeat that for you skeptics and you unbelievers and you soothsayers and you false prophets. He fathered himself into the world, into a flesh body. Now, if that's astounding, then we're going to show you how the genetics match up with the name. You can't have a name without the genetics, and you can't have the genetics without a name. If you don't have any genetics, he didn't exist. He was both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He was one egg with the three substances of the three rulerships. He was the eternal spirit, the Holy Ghost, as we call it, in the Pentecostal. You got the Holy Ghost? That's the first thing they ask you. Baptist, you been saved? I say, well, what I have to do to say? Well, you have to go down here at this altar and pray, glory to God. Well, what the Bible said on the day of Pentecost. They hear Peter preaching baptism in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins to receive the Holy Ghost. So Yahweh is a spirit. And the spirit overshadowed Mary. And the Holy Ghost, both egg and sperm, was created by Yahweh the Father. And so he begot the only begotten Son of Yahweh. The flesh man was called the Son. The spirit man was embedded in that flesh. God, Yahweh, was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and nobody can deny that. But very few people understand it. That's why they got a carnal mind. They think that there's an old man sitting up there in the heavens that sent his son down here, and that old man didn't have anything to do with it. Well, that old man that they think is God had everything to do with it. Yahweh himself, not some other power, not some man, not Joseph. We're going to prove in the genealogy. It wasn't Joseph that laid with Mary, as some assume, that it was a carnal conception. It was immaculate. He bare himself through his own genetic genes, being able to produce both egg and sperm, and the woman didn't have one thing to do with it, and I'm going to prove it in a genealogy, and it may take about 3 or 4 hours to get through the genealogy, but I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to put a whipping on the devil and these soothsayers, these false prophets that will not acknowledge the name that Yahweh came and became a flesh man and walked on the earth for 33 years and left us a name that's above every name. And the only name that's got this salvational name is YHWH, no other name. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight I am proud. I am blessed. I am honored to reveal to you, some of you, for the first time, that we found his name written at Bethel, the ancient birthright, genetic, holy grail, resting place, the seat of the Messiah himself, the hometown, Bethlehem, Ephratah, Mount Gerizim, on the side of the mountain, where the first altar was built, where Jacob slept on the holy grail stone, if you will. It's still revered. It was precious relic. It is now in Scotland, in Edinburgh, in the palace of the Caucasian Israelites that settled in Scotland, Ireland, the British Isles, in the Germain countries, in the Scandinavian countries, plumb up to the north of the top of the world, to Denmark, to the good old U.S. of A. Tonight, there is a people on the earth that are called by his name. They're blessed in the name. Although there are few, we're recognized as a cult around the world for your information, and that's a blessing. You know what a cult is? It's a small group of people that believe the things that are written in the Word. Written right at the place where Jacob slept. Man, I get chills and thrills, and I can do cartwheels. I can shout and stand all day long on something that I can sink my spiritual teeth into and hold on like a junkyard dog and come against everything that ain't like Yahweh. And I rebuke everything tonight that's not like him, that would come against his name. You know why? Because it's provable. The Bible said, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good, and to be steadfast, unmovable. In the hills of Bethlehem, Ephratah, we're going to talk about it in the book of Ruth tonight, because I'm on a preaching tangent here right now about this great, marvelous name. I've got to get it established that the blood established the name. And by this name, and only this name, you can't get saved in two different names. If you got two different names, you're halted between two opinions, like it was on the top of Mount Carmel when old Elijah, when he went up on the mountain and he said, how long will you folks be halted between two opinions? They had a God of that day, and he's very powerful, and he's still prevalent today. Baal. B-A-A-L. Now, any scholar, anybody worth his salt, anybody that's got a strong concordance, most of them have got one, but they don't open it up. They just go on their blind mind, racing through the Bible, and come up with a doctrine they think that is provable and sound. And they start preaching it and build on falsehood. That's how so many false faiths have arisen, because of the blindness of the false prophets that speak but not according to his name. His name is forever settled, nothing be added to it, nothing taken away. And it's written at Bethel. I've got the map. I've got the picture of his name written by the finger of Yahweh. And he didn't write Jehovah. Oh my, I'm so sorry. I apologize to you Jehovah Witnesses that are just so disappointed here tonight. I'm sorry I pulled the fire up from under your furnace. You're going to get in the fire one of these days if you won't acknowledge his name. I'm sorry, I apologize to all you Jesus people. I owe you an apology. I sympathize. I empathize with you. You believed in a name that you can't prove so long, and you've heard it and praised it so much, and now you'll cut yourself and cry like a prophet of Baal. You see, this is embedded in tradition. In vain you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, and come out of her, my people. Well, ain't no use of jumping out of a frying pan and getting in the fire. When you leave Yahweh, you left the real thing. You left the original name. You've left the only provable name in the universe. If you've got another name you can prove, and it's written somewhere on a piece of paper or a parchment that has been proven to be at least 300 or 400 or 3 or 4,000 years old, other than 300 or 400 years, like a 1611 King James Bible, don't even contain the name J-E-S-U-S, and yet you hold on to it because it's been revised and they put the J in there and changed it to Jesus. And before that was E-A-Zeus, where it had the I, which is a representative of the Hebrew Y. So his name had to start with a Y. Couldn't start with a J, because the J is the changed alteration. You better watch the devil. He's very crafty, ladies. He'll have you calling and cutting yourself like the prophets of Baal up on Mount Carmel. And then there'll be a preacher come along, and he'll tear your little playhouse down. He'll make you roll a bed, and you can't sleep. Sleep will flee from you. You'll toss and turn all night long, because you're trying to hold on to something that you can't read, you can't prove. All things should be provable, and the name at Bethel is YHWH, written in the square script, Hebrew, or the Aramaic. Was Yahweh smart or what? Did he know that the Messiah, 33 years of age, would die for a people called by his name, and that he came and revealed that name? That name was known to the prophets. But for 400 years, that name had died out, and the house of Israel had been scattered as lost sheep. And he told this little remnant that stayed there that didn't even know the Father's name. According to John 17, verse 6 and 26, he revealed, he told them what the name was. And he said, my name ain't Word. He didn't say that. He didn't say his name was Jehovah. He didn't say his name was Jesus. He told them what the Father's name was. Will you go back 5,823 times in the original language, not English? And some of these false prophets get up and say, well, they changed the, they put in Lord when it ought to have been W-R-D. That's English. That's ridiculous. I mean, man, you're playing with fire here. You could get burnt. Very easy if you believe that garbage. That ain't nothing but garbage. Plain and simple. It came right out of the pits of the imagination of the mind of Satan. And it will work in every mind that will be turned over to a reprobated mind to believe a lie. And you can very easily believe a lie, and you can establish a doctrine, and you can die by it. Very few people will suffer for the true name and stand on it, even after it's been revealed to them. They'll deny it and go back on it. It's better for you not to know the way and know it and go back on it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the truth. And we got a lot of these Jehovah Witnesses that run around here, running their little flappy mouth, running around with these silly women, door to door, selling the watchtower. And they've been so wrong so many times in history, it ain't even funny. They predicted the end of the world every time it lied, and they're still lying, and they're using a false name to lie with, and they've deceived literally millions of people. But that shouldn't concern you if you've got the true name. And it don't concern me, because I know it's a false name. And we're ready to debate it with anybody in the Watchtower Bible Tract Society or wherever you're from. If you've got an urge to defend the name of Jehovah as opposed to the original name of Yahweh, bring it on. Now, if you Jesus prophets want to get in here and jump in and get your feet wet, and you want to prove that Jesus is the original name, bring it on. We're here for the defense of the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, it's forever settled in heaven, and nothing can be added to it, nothing taken away. And by the word, you can stop every mouth. My heavens above, I feel the Holy Ghost. What in the world's wrong with me tonight? Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. I know I'm not liked for my sincerity and my boldness. I'm bold as a junkyard dog or a barnyard rooster. Praise Yahweh. I'll spur anything ain't got the truth. I'll jump on anything. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how big your church is. If you ain't got the name of Yahweh, you're in sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. You ain't got no right to serve Yahweh. because you're leaning on your own understanding or trusting in another name. Praise Yahweh. My heavens, what's wrong with these idiotic, deceived, hump-backed, foul-mouthed? Oh, you say, well, Pastor, but they say some great things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. What's great about that? That has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something tonight, and I'm going to tell it to you just like it is. The name that's written at Bethel and the genetics that I can prove tonight proves that he overshadowed Mary himself and gave himself a name above every name, and that name was the one he revealed to Moses in Exodus 3, 14, and 15. That's the one that he revealed to Moses in Exodus 17, verse 6, and in 22:12, he revealed his name many times, and never was it Jehovah, never was it Word, and never was it Jesus. It was always Yahweh, and it always will be, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And every knee's going to bow to this doctrine, whether you want to or not. You better get used to it. You better humble down. You better pray. You better seek it while it can be found. You better call upon him while he's near. You better repent and get in the name of Yahweh, which is above every name. At the name of Yahweh, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. And Eli Yah. His name wasn't Eli Word. Show me one of the prophets in the Bible that used the name Ezekiel Yah. Show me one of them that said it's Ezekiel Jah, or Ezekiel G, or Ezekiel Word. Ezekiel Yah. Called by the mighty power of the great name of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Well, I'll stick that right down the devil's mouth and make him like it. I'm going to say that again, because that felt so good. I felt chills and spills running up and down my spine of the genetic truth that's in my life tonight, and I'm going to stand on it. Hallelujah! The name above every name. And I'm going to praise it. I'm going to praise him. I wish I had my guitar right now. I could do a tap dance on the devil's head. If it wasn't no bigger than that. Head of a pen, I could tap dance the name of Yahweh right on top of his head. Praise Yahweh. It'll make you shout. It'll make you get right. It'll make you humble down. It'll make you get in the water and repent and get in this great, magnanimous name. Praise Yahweh. Because it's a name. It's a name above our name. And who will declare it? Who will declare it? It's a name above all names. Hallelujah. Uh-oh. Here it comes again. I feel the anointing. Hallelujah. Oh, that's so sweet. But I know it's making the devil mad. Go out and get you a life. Rob and steal and cheat and tell your lies somewhere else, because you will not be permitted to preach them in the presence of the shepherd's call and Pastor Buddy, because I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Yahweh's the king of all kings. Every god, every false doctrine will fall on its face like Moloch, like Baal, like Dagon. Like all these false gods of antiquity, we still got them, and they parade around. All these preachers that preach on shortwave are either false preaching for an audience, or preaching because they like to hear themselves rattle off at the mouth, because they certainly won't preach the truth. He that worships Yahweh must worship him in spirit and in truth. What about this name that's we've seen from the air? A satellite. It's just 570 miles up, ladies and gentlemen. He took this marvelous photograph at a particular time in the evening when the shadows were casting an image of the great and the magnanimous name that they saw on this satellite photograph. And somebody with a sharp eye said, "What's that there at Bethel?" "What's that I see there at Daddy's old home place? Glory to God. Why, it looks like the name of Yahweh, in Aramaic Hebrew. Well, what's that shadow casting right down below it? Why, it looks like the name of Ephraim, in Paleo Hebrew. Oh, my. Yahweh and Ephraim. It just happens to be what Ruth says here. In the genealogy of the book of Ruth, Ruth acknowledges, or the prophet that wrote this, listen to here, "And the man's name was Elimelech." Now he had his wife, and he had his two sons. Now Naomi was his wife, and he had two sons, and the name of the man tells you what his name was, Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Ephrathites, E-P-H, apostrophe, R-A-T-H-I-T-E-S, Ephraimites. Now, it just happens to be that I looked up the Strong's number. I'm so glad that I got a Strong's concordance. I'm glad that Yahweh's given me good vision. And he's given me enough knowledge to one day look in there, and I said, what's an Ephratite? So I just happened to look in there. And I looked it up, and it says Strong's number, 672, 673, a descendant of Ephraim. Well, blow me down, Papa. Say, what? Well, I thought these people were from, I thought they were Jews. You know that there's some ignorant Christians that believe all of Israel is Jews? Do you believe that? Do you believe that there's people with the audacity that will stand up and tell you that all of Israel is Jews? That's God's chosen people. They're all Jews. Glory to God. Well, they'll shimmy and shake, and they'll read Johnny Hagee and Benny Squin, and all these fictional characters that have a way that sings right. They show and glow, shimmer like gold, but they ain't real. Oh, yeah, they put on a great grand show. They got cascades of, in the choir. They quiver the voice, and they sing like canaries, and they play well on instruments, and they're melodramatic, on with a drum roll, a timpani, and they float across the stage majestically. They have on their $1,000 suits and $2,000 patent leather shoes, made in Italy, And all they are smelling so good. Ladies and gentlemen, everything glitters ain't gold. You got to dig deep for gold. Ephraimites. Strong's number 672, 673. And when I read that, bless God, it changed my mind here. I said, wait a minute here now. And they came to the country of Moab, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. Now, that sounds like they were Moabite women. But this was in the land of Moab, the region of Moab. And Israel was occupying this land at that time, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. Orpah and Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. They were original Israelites. And Mahlon and Chilion died. Both of them died. Elimelech died. And now we ain't got no seed. Because Ruth didn't have any babies. And Orpah didn't have any babies. And the woman was left, and her two sons, and her husband, and there she arose with her daughters in law. They're sticking with her now, or at least one of them's going to. We'll find out if he's going to go back home. that she might return to the from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that Yahweh had visited his people and given them bread. His people. Well, why would, if they weren't his people and they were Moabites, why did they go back to the land of Yahweh's people? Therefore, she went down from out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Southern Judah. The land of Moab just lay right across the border. And Naomi said unto her daughters-in-law, go and return each to your mother's house. She said, you should go on back to your mommy's house. After they got home, now they, she did, why did, if they were Moabs, or why didn't she tell them to go to their mother's house in the land of Moab? Why she wait and go over to Judah and then tell them to go home? Because they were Israelites. And because that they were, the two, they were married, now they knew the law. They had a kinsman redeemer waiting on them when they went back to their homeland and to their home tribe. Where did Ruth, who do you think Ruth went? Did she go over to Judah because that she was married to Judah? No. She was married to Ephraimite. Where would she go to claim her birthright, kinsman redeemer, that one of the next eldest sons eligible in the kinship of Amalek, Mahlon, and Chilion, that they would marry her? They had to by the law. She knew the law. I wish you did. I wish Yahweh's people come up to speed and learn something. They're ever learning and never able to come to the truth because they won't sacrifice and preach the truth. You got to believe the truth before you can have it. You think Yahweh would give it to you and let you cast it to the ground like most people do? When he gives it to you, he gives it to you to learn. He gives it to you to save you. He gives it to you to reward you. He gives it to you to bless you. He gives it to you to have wisdom and knowledge. And without which no man shall be saved, because you're destroyed for the lack of it. These people know. These two girls knew what they were doing. Go back to your mother's house. Well, I wonder why that they didn't go run back to mommy's house. They went right back to daddy's house. They went right back to their bloodline husband's house, where they were entitled by the law of Yahweh to marry the next of kin, the next closest kin to Mahlon and to Chilion here. They were obligated, the law obligated the family of these deceased brothers to present their wives back to their bloodline, and that they would raise up seed. Now, if they were Ephraimites, how could they raise up a Jew? Christ came right through this bloodline I'm preaching tonight. How could it have been Jewish when it was from the tribe of Ephraim? When the kinsman redeemer had to be an Ephraimite to qualify to raise up seed unto Amalek and to the two sons. Ladies and gentlemen, you better get you some goggles. You better strap them on. You better bolt down the hatch of your B-52, because the devil's going to bum you out of existence if you don't get in the truth. This will steamroll you, ladies and gentlemen. The truth will wipe you out. You're either for him or against him. You can't serve two masters, and you certainly can't serve two names, and you certainly can't have two bloodlines in your body. If you do, you're a bastard. And you know what he's got in mind for a bastard? If you don't know who your father is, that's what you are, and most of these people don't. Verse 9. Man, I just blowed my time away here. Yahweh grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house. She corrected herself. Lord bless her heart. Now remember, she told him in verse 8 to go to the father's house. Well, they ain't moving. So she got the message. She was reminded, well, wait a minute here. Wait a minute here, Naomi. Now your sons, we're entitled to your bloodline sons. We're entitled to the next of kin. to Malon and Shephania, we're entitled to marry the next closest kin, and we demand that right. Well, verse 9, and Yahweh grant you. See, Yahweh grants you. Well, Yahweh's word is already granted. It was written in the word that if the eldest son married a woman and he died before he could have any seed, then the next eldest available closest kin, that would be the next oldest brother in line, and it got down, you could get a cousin. If so be that there wasn't anything to inherit. And in case that there was a woman in the birthright line, she appointed one of her children, the first of eligible male, to raise seed, because a woman can't bring seed. Yahweh grant you that you should find rest, each of you, in the house of your husband. And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice, and they wept. Oh, man, you know what they was weeping about? Oh, man. It's all about genetics and the Holy Grail here tonight that I'm preaching about. They knew that Yahweh's law would afford them a husband to raise up seed. And it just happened to be that this was the seed line that the Messiah, the real, the genuine, the original kinsman redeemer would come through. And then said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto who? Thy people. Thy people. You go to the house of your husband, thy people. Now remember, Naomi was qualified too. If she wasn't over 60 years, she could marry. She could go right back to Amalek's people and be next in line herself. Now, she didn't. She chose to remain as she was. But Ruth, she encouraged Ruth to go after somebody in her house here. We're going to find out who it is. And it just happened to be the bloodline of the Master. The bloodline of the King of Kings. I'm so thrilled tonight that I can preach you this and get on national radio without any fear of reprisal or rebuke. Or somebody say, well, now, wait a minute. I can read over here where it says he was a Jew bloodline. Glory to God. And all of God's people are Jews, Pastor. But I've had so many of you people that ain't got no spiritual knowledge call me up and waste my time and tell me that he was a Jew. Sound and brass and tinkling simple. As if you ain't done your homework, you don't need to call Pastor Buddy. If I had to do it for you, I can give you a lesson. I've got time. Just call me up and we'll take you through the bloodline here. It's real good. But it may change you. It may break your heart. It may change your concepts and tradition. And they said unto her, surely, surely we will return to your people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Why would you want to go with me? She'd give them another chance to go to, remember what she said up here in the seventh verse? Return to your mother's people. They knew the law. They're supposed to return to their husband's people. And she said again, she gave another chance to opt out here. And Naomi said again, turn you, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there not yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husband? In other words, I ain't going to have more children for you. Well, Miss Ruth had a revelation. Now we're going to find out that one of them did go back. Turn ye again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Evidently she's over 60, I don't know, because that's the law Paul established. If I should say, I have hope, or if I say, should I have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay with them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of Yahweh is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but and departed away. She took up, she, Oh, Naomi convinced Oprah. We ain't talking about the one on the talk show either. She don't qualify. We're talking about Oprah that turned back and went back to her mother's family, but Ruth clave unto her. Now, where's Naomi going? She's going home. She's going back to the people of her husband. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, unto her people. She should have went to Amalek's people and unto her gods. Return them after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you. Do not tempt me to leave you. Or return from following after thee, for where thou goest, listen to this man, this is the, oh boy, what a woman. Whew. I believe she was a looker too. I believe that Ruth was a stunning looker. I will go where thou goest, or where thou lodgest, and I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die. Where I will be buried, Yahweh be so with me, and more also, if aught, but death part me from you. In other words, the only way you're going to get rid of me, sissy, because you're going home to our people, you're going home to Amalek's family. You say they're going to afford her a widow's rights. She had a widow's rights there. Naomi did. Well, Ruth had a daughter-in-law rights that she could marry the first in line. And when Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And so they went until they came to Bethlehem. I believe it was Bethlehem Ephratah, because I believe the lying scribes inserted the Bethlehem Judea here. But it's a minor point. But I do believe it was Bethlehem Ephratah, and because this is the birthplace. If Amalek and Shephelon and Mahlon were Ephraimites, they would have had to go back to Bethlehem Ephratah instead of Bethlehem Judea. And I believe the scribes inserted so that they could deceive people. And they're good at that, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible warns you not to believe them. Well, man, I'd like to go on. Why do I have to run out of time? Let me see what time it is. Man, I've got to get off here. Praise Yahweh. It's time for me to depart. I'm sponsored tonight, entirely tonight, by Dr. Gary and Brother Paul. Dr. Gary is 1-877-289-7439. Brother Paul. For STEM Tech is 1-800-253-2748. These are my sponsors. Those that bless my hands send me tithes and offerings to keep me and hold up my hands for the study of the Word and the preaching of the Bible. I appreciate those who help me. I sincerely do. I take your tithes and your offerings, and I accept them in the name of Yahweh. Offer them up to Yahweh as a tribute, and then return them here on the radio for my time and labor, that I might tell you a little bit about what Yahweh has given me to tell you. And I'm not afraid to preach it either. Those of you who have studied with me over the years, and I've been on the radio many years, you know that I'm not afraid to bring it on. So, if you'd like to write me tonight, write me at the Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, again, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, zip 37824. Write for this Holy Grail series. I believe that you could learn from it. By the time I finish it up, it looks like it's going to 10 parts at least. Because, man, I ain't even to the New Testament for genealogy. I'm still up here in the Book of Ruth. I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. So I've hurried. But if you'll condense the whole 10 hours and study to each successive step, as we started in the Garden of Eden with the genealogy of the Holy Grail, and we're going to come out somewhere in the New Testament to prove all things, both old and new, to give you a covenant of satisfaction. You can call me tonight. I'm live here on a Friday evening on WWRB 3.185, clear channel around the world, transmitting, and you may be downloading this on your computer and your offloads, or you may be listening to us on worldwide shortwave. We're the jewel of the South. We're number one around the world in shortwave. We got quality. Well, you won't hear a bunch of advertising and all this stuff. The station is truly operated on tithe and offerings. So we encourage you to help us with WWRB. If you'll send me the money and give it to me, I'll call Dave and try to get more time. And he was very generously has found me a lot of places for radio time. And I'd like to be on 24/7, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Help me in our effort to do that. Praise Yahweh. And Yahweh would bless you. Yahweh would give you the right to the tree of life. Yahweh's richest blessing. Well, that's a sign that I've got to get out of here. I've got a couple of minutes to talk to you and tell you I love you. And I want you to go to the mountain because I ask you to. And I want you to fall on your knees and say, Father, that old grizzled, straight line prophet, is there anything to him? Yahweh, could you help me to understand what he's trying to say? Would you open up my heart if there's a chance that he's right? Then everything that I believed in my life is wrong. Father, could you give me enough courage to turn me around and head me to solid ground? And I believe Yahweh would bless you. And I believe that he would hasten the day that he'd give you enough faith to take like Miss Ruth. Instead of going back to her own people, she knew there's a covenant waiting on her. She knew Yahweh's word was forever settled that she could marry the next of kin to her husband, who happened to be an Ephraimite. I'm sorry. I really hate it. It breaks my heart to tell you that. He was an Ephraimite. He wasn't a Jew. He was a Bondurant out of the birthright house, the genealogy house of the loins and the chosen one of Joseph. Yahweh's name is written right there at Bethel in the square script, Aramaic Hebrew. And the name Ephraim is written right below it. Proving to you that Yahweh signatured his name at the place of the birthright house of the house of Joseph. Won't you come and join us in our battle? We've got many people standing with us in this wonderful truth. It's more deeper than you'd ever comprehend and realize how much deception that Satan has used against you over the years through tradition and blind prophets. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock around the world on WWRB 3.185. And may Yahweh bless you. And may he love you like I did.